Our missionaries, the Lowe's in the Bahamas, are back in the Bahamas. I never did find out what happened to Brother Lowe. He either had like a stroke or a heart attack or something, because he said he's not well, and that the doctors have told him he may never get back to 100%. He's short of breath, he's weak, but he felt that he had progressed enough to come back to the Bahamas. Now, you remember, he is a Caucasian fella. His father worked in the Bahamas when he was born there, and so he had dual citizenship. And he was raised in the United States later. But when he became a Christian and a missionary, he wanted to go to the Bahamas. And because he was a citizen, he could build a church, he could buy land, all those kind of things that a foreigner is not allowed to do. And so this gave him a real step ahead. So pray, he said, the church has done very well in his absence. He was very proud of them and very pleased. And they're going to need to keep, you know, helping him and supporting him to get him back completely well. The Greens in Taiwan, they sent prayer, and we mentioned it last week, that they'd asked us to pray for them about their transportation needs when they get to the States for a furlough. And they have found the church out in Washington is going to supply their travel needs while they're home for everything on that side of the country. But at some point, they'll fly to the East Coast, and they need us to pray that, you know, somewhere they can pick up the issue there. The Lowe's still have a lot of medical bills in the States from his treatments and all that sort of thing. So do continue to pray for them about that. Thank you all for being here tonight. Judy, do you know any more about the little girl, 12-year-old Micah? Doing better? Okay, good. 12 years old, suffered a stroke. And so remember her. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse number 10. We'll look at the church tonight as an agency. In chapter 1, verse 10, the scripture says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Holy Spirit's the down payment of our salvation until the finished completion. And he is the earnest. Some of you have heard of earnest money when you're making a purchase. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now we know the church is a called out assembly of baptized believers in Jesus Christ. We believe the Bible says everything that the Bible says about the person of Christ, and everything says about what he has done and will do in the future, we believe, as that's what the Bible teaches. We're united by our beliefs as a church. We join together because we believe alike. And that's not the case all around the world, of course. And we are united by our beliefs. Every group or church or denomination that the world happens to call Christian does not necessarily believe as we do. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, if you want to look over there, just on the other page probably, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the churches that teach salvation comes by works don't really believe this passage of Scripture.
Some of them teach baptism is required in order to be saved. If you've ever seen those bearded funny guys on television called the Duck Dynasty, that they got rich selling duck calls, and they got a TV reality show out of it. And the father of that group and the one son who's the lead person are both Church of Christ ordained ministers. And they don't talk about how many people they've led to the Lord. They talk about how many people they've baptized in the river back there behind where the old man lives, because they believe you are required to be baptized in order to be saved. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Holy Spirit comes upon us as believers the moment we are saved. And they teach that you don't receive the Spirit until you are baptized. And so many people don't get baptized right away when they first get saved. And so they have a real problem that they don't have the Spirit, because the book of Romans says very clearly, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to the Lord. You're none of His. So these that teach works for salvation or baptism for salvation, they really do not believe that salvation is by grace through faith and is a gift of God. We believe the Bible's clear that when you're under the conviction of God's Spirit that comes through the hearing of the Word of God, you see yourself as lost and headed to hell, and you believe on Jesus Christ that He can save you, and you call upon Him and ask to be saved. At that moment, you are saved. You are washed of your sins. You are sanctified by God, set apart holy unto Him, justified, declared righteous. You receive the Spirit of God. You're placed into the body of Christ. You are redeemed, purchased by the blood of Christ, reconciled to God, forgiven all your trespasses, and made free from the law. You're made acceptable unto God and given access to God. You are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. Look over with me, if you're in Ephesians, turn right and go to the book of Colossians. It's got Philippians after Ephesians and then Colossians. Look at chapter 1, verse 13. When we talked about the conviction of the Holy Spirit coming by the hearing of the Word of God, the Bible says that's how faith comes as well. Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more we can get people into church and get them under the sound of teaching and preaching of the Word, greater will be the opportunity for them to be saved. Colossians 1, 13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood," excuse me, "even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." So through Christ, we are cleansed of our sins and we're taken out of the kingdom of darkness that was the realm of Satan and translated into the kingdom of Christ, which is the kingdom of light. We have become a part of the family of God and citizens of heaven. John 1, 11 and 12 speaks about Christ came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, the children of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. And so the power comes from God to make us a part of His family. And by that, you become an object of God's love and care and protection, His provision for your needs, and His power to overcome. As we grow in our faith, we get stronger in the faith to be able to overcome more and more. But the power to overcome this world we live in is not dependent upon us. God will deliver us from this present world one day, as He's already delivered us from the power of sin. In Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 cautions believers, "Beware lest any man spoil you," meaning take you captive, through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So we become an object of God's love and protection and provision and power, because in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. Our sins were washed away when we got saved, and they were washed away because of the blood of Jesus Christ, not because of the water in the baptistry. The water in the baptistry doesn't wash your sins away. They're already washed away when you receive Christ as your Savior. That is the symbol of them being washed away, and the symbol of you being resurrected to a new life in baptism, which is your identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. So what baptism is the right thing for believers. It's a good thing to do. You should be baptized. You should get baptized by immersion, as the scripture teaches. They went down into the water. And that is our public identification to the world that we have identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, we don't sprinkle babies. There's a lot of churches that do. They will claim it is just a christening, just a ceremony. But then when they do it, they say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so it is baptism that they're doing with sprinkling babies. But baptism is not for babies. Baptism is for believers. They got the word wrong. They got the B right, but the word wrong. The Bible doesn't teach that we should baptize infants, and then when they turn 12 years of age, have a class for them that they can go through a catechism class and then become a member of the church, and we declare that they are saved. That's just not Bible. The age of salvation is different for about every person that comes along, depending on how you've been raised in your home, the Christian family or not, how much Bible you've been under, the church you go to. All those things will have a part in it. But some are saved many years earlier than 12 years of age. It is when they come to the knowledge that they are lost and could go to hell, and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can be saved. The exact age is different with many. I had Brother Alton Beale here to speak one year for special services, and he brought the big ensemble. There were over 20 students that were here. They filled up our choir. They sang for us beautifully that day, and I just felt like doing this. I asked him, I said, now when you guys, I want each one of you to introduce yourself and tell us where you're from and what you plan to do in the ministry, if you know. And I'd like for you to tell us when you got saved. And the majority of that 20 students that were in Bible college got saved at 4 or 5 years of age, and their mom or dad led them to Christ, and they got faithful in church all their upbringing and got saved at a very early age. Now, when we have kids come here to Sunday school and junior church, we don't try to push them like a hellfire and brimstone evangelist to fear going to hell and get saved and get baptized to make it look good for numbers' sake. That's not how you do that. Those kids will probably come along later on and worry about their salvation and may have to be dealt with again. But we want them to be taught the things of God, the Bible, who God is, who the person of Christ is, what salvation means. And as we teach them these things, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes through the preaching of the Word of God. And so many of these young people will come to their parents or possibly even come forward in an invitation and say that, I don't want to go to hell. I need to be saved. And so we deal with them and help them to come to know Christ as their Savior. And that's the biblical way to do that. Some churches are wrong in their interpretation of Scripture. We believe that we should interpret the Scripture with a historical, grammatical text, which is referred to as a literal interpretation. But there are many churches that follow an allegorical interpretation. They make stories out of things that God's Word teaches very clearly are to be believed as truth completely. Salvation is not in a particular church or in a denomination. Salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. And if we get people to Christ, they can be saved. If you have Christ, you have eternal life. First John chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, I believe it is, the record of salvation that God has given us, that salvation's in Christ, and if you have Christ, you have life. If you have not Christ, you have not eternal life. So, receiving eternal life, we are cleansed of all of our sins and sanctified and set apart by the Spirit of God, declared righteous by God, and there is not a reason for us to have to go through works or rituals to try to earn a relationship with God, as some churches teach. And that's why we follow the Bible, and that's why we are adamant about what we believe, because we're following the Word of God. The ceremonies that some of these churches have and the formality that they have, they think is a picture of spirituality. But spirituality is based on how you live, not in beautiful things like stained glass windows and all that sort of thing. You cannot pay for salvation, no matter what you would give, and because Christ has already paid the debt for us. Even the Corinthians, as worldly as that church was, as many problems as Paul had to deal with in 1 Corinthians, the division that was among them and the moral lapses that were there, the problems about the Lord's Supper and all the things he had to correct. In chapter 1, he calls them the saints of God, the sanctified ones. And so being sanctified and being a saint of God is because of our relationship with Christ. Our standing in God is God declared us holy. Now the point B there on your outline, I made a typo there. Point is that, not what. So change that W to a T. The point is that you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. Many people in this world like a church for it's friendly, or they like the music, or they got family there and they like going there, but they really don't know why they believe what they believe. They don't know what the church teaches, and they don't know why they would believe it. If you want to associate yourself with a church that follows the Word of God, then this is the church for you and others like this church. And this church is an agency. As an agency, we represent God, we represent Christ, we represent the Bible. Representation is what an agency is for. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 20. Verse 14 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So God has given us the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. And we are his agency to represent him to reconcile men to God. Then look at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So we represent the Lord and the Word of God. And we go to people as a witness, as a ministry, to minister to them for the Lord, to reconcile them to God, to help them be saved. And we are Christ's ambassadors. Verse 15, Christ died for all because all were dead in trespasses and sins. Back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, Scripture says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, what does that word quickened mean? Living or made alive. You hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so, before we got saved, we were all dead in sins and trespasses. But once we believed on Christ, we were given God life, eternal life. We were given life that is eternal. And so now we are to no longer live for ourselves, but we are to live for him who died and rose again. Now, God reconciled us unto himself through Christ and now committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. So we represent him. We tell people how to be reconciled. We are his agency as a church. We represent his teachings of salvation and all his word to all the world. Verse 19, the word of reconciliation is committed unto us to tell men and women and boys and girls how they can have their sins forgiven and be cleansed and be saved, and all of it comes through Jesus Christ and the work that he did on Calvary's cross. Now then, verse 20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him. We send ambassadors to foreign countries to represent the president and the United States to a foreign country. And we are ambassadors for God, representing Christ to people in the world and God's salvation. The word ambassador means one who is of age. It means as an elder. It is a position of rank. And so God has given us that title that we might represent him to the world around us, to speak his word with authority, that we can tell them how they can be saved. And we are given God's authority to do that. Back in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul explains that he is this also. In Ephesians 6, verse 20 says, he asked the church to pray for him, that utterance would be given him, that he may open his mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul sought their prayers that he would have the boldness to preach the word. Now you'll remember that Paul suffered greatly, much of which was at the hand of the Jews, his own people. The beatings and the mockings and the stoning and all the things that he went through. And he was in the deep because of shipwrecks, traveling from one place to another to spread the gospel. And Paul faced all these things as an ambassador for Christ. And the power of God was given unto him that the message would be boldly presented. You know, it'd be easy to not speak up when you face danger. But Paul spoke up for Christ and spoke up for God and suffered the consequences, beatings, imprisonments, and all those things. But usually God turned those things around, just like with the Philippian jailer. After he and Silas had been beaten and cast into prison, God sent an earthquake and broke the jail down, and the jailer came and fell down before them and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." He took those men back to his home and washed their wounds and fed them. And they preached the gospel and baptized his family. And then he would have let them go. But Paul said, "No, we'll go back to the prison and we'll wait until the officials come and declare us innocent of any charges that they have brought against us." It was not lawful for Paul as a Roman citizen to be imprisoned without a trial or to be beaten without a trial. But they had assumed that they could do this to him as like some cult or something, that he was representing one that was risen from the dead. And so they did not check into the situation. And they beat him and cast him into prison. And you remember the story. They didn't sit in the prison and whine and cry about their wounds. They sang praise to God. And God sent an earthquake and broke the jail down. I was thinking when Bob said a few moments ago about our Master Club workers being up here, that our Master Club workers are godly. I'll tell you why. The Bible says that God is long-suffering so that we can be saved. And our Sunday school teachers and junior church teachers and Master Club teachers have to be long-suffering with some of these boys and girls to teach them and get them to sit still long enough to hear and listen and gain that they might be saved and be reconciled to God. Our agency requires its members to faithfully assemble for instruction, the teaching of the Word of God, for motivation, the preaching of the Word of God, for encouragement. We all need encouragement. This world's in sad shape. If you watch the news media and you listen to the troubles going on around the world, you can get discouraged real easily. But you can come to the house of God and we sing a song and we can praise the Lord and we can share a testimony or two. And what will top it all off, if we see somebody get saved, glory to God, it's worth it all and we'll be encouraged. We're here for fellowship, because we have a very important job to do for God as His ambassadors. We represent Him. We are His agency, and we are a sending agency. We send out missionaries around the world. We are a recruiting agency, that we go out and recruit new members into our church, and unsaved, we recruit to come and be saved. We are a receiving agency. You know, we have not, about 2 years now, we haven't passed an offering plate. We just put it back at the back. When people come in, they put their offering there, or when they leave, they put it there. We don't hardly ever say anything about it anymore. We should say something about it, because that's a part of our worship, is giving our tithe and offering to the Lord. We should say something. But my point is this. Last year, our attendances were not as strong as they are right now. But our offerings, we had a record year in 2021. The total offerings for this church went over $500,000 last year. And all of you that are members here know it didn't come because the preacher stands in the pulpit and tells everybody all the time to give and things like that. We are a giving church. We help benevolently. We help with missions. And God supplies our need because of that. And so we are a receiving agency. We're also an educating agency. I've heard many times, Brother Ken, I'm sure you heard this as well. And I've heard many times in this church from people who started coming here from a different kind of church or got saved later in life. And they have told me I've learned more Bible since I've been coming to this church for 6 months or a year than I had all my life in other places. We've had some young couples come to this church and come and tell me after service at some point, you know, my husband and I, we've been talking about things, and it seems like every week when we come to church, you'll speak on that, and you'll answer those questions that we had about the Bible and something that we were thinking about, and you'll deal with that in your message. You see, if we listen, we can learn a lot. If we tune in and open not just our ears but our heart to God, He can deal with us. And this church is an educating agency. It is a sending agency to send out evangelism into our community. Many of our folks have gone out on Saturdays passing out our Easter invitational cards, and I think we've sent out 2,000 invites now in the community. And that's great. And the hope is that we can tell people the gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that they might be saved. We are sending out servants. We serve the Lord not in order to get saved, but because we are saved. The works we do, back in Ephesians 2, we saw 8 and 9 says we're saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God wants us to be involved in the work of the ministry and also in the reconciling of people unto God as His ambassadors. We have that as a ministry. We have the Word, so we have the authority from the Lord to be those that speak up for Christ and tell people how they can be saved. God's been so good to us. And as a church, we are blessed of the Lord. I wish everybody in town could come to a few services and see just how this church is and how we deal with the Word of God. And I think more people would become a part if they could come long enough to see and hear how we treat the Bible, God's Word, and how we treat one another in our ministering to people. Miss Diane will come and play through a verse. If you need someone to counsel with you or pray with you, or a decision needs to be made for the Lord, if you'll come, we'll help you and guide you or counsel with you and meet the need. Father, bless this invitational time, we pray, because we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.